Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. Broadcasting live from Raleigh, North Carolina, on my way to Washington, D.C. later today, so I can broadcast and participate in, broadcast from and participate in Small Business Week, National Small Business Week, all next week. Well, actually, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we still got work to do around here. We got our good buddy David Dossie, who's back with us. Dave is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is my intellectual property attorney, and he's here to talk to us about that very topic. David Dossie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back on the show. By the way, that's Gallagher and Dossie, right? Is the law firm?
Yes.
Out of the great state of Ohio. Okay, Dave, you got some ideas for us. You want to talk to us about building an intellectual property strategy for our business? Is that it?
Well, intellectual property protection system. And I was sitting in a conference last week, and I always think your show and how you often say the percentage of a company's assets that are truly intangible assets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the statistic...
It's growing.
Right. The statistic you usually use seems to be like two-thirds of a company's value or more.
Well, the actual study showed that major corporations have literally inverted over the last 30 years from 80% tangible and into 20 intangible to 20 tangible and 80 intangible.
Right. Well, I was sitting there last week, and a gentleman gave a statistic that of the Fortune 500 companies, now they've done a study, and it's actually over 90%, closer to 94%.
Wow. And see, when I talk to small business owners about this, David, you'll be excited about this. This is good news for you. And I did this yesterday, and when I spoke here at Raleigh in my keynote, I talked about this very topic. And I said, now, you may not be at the 80-20. You may not have inverted to where you're 80% intellectual and 20% physical assets. But I said, I bet your ratio is a lot higher on the intellectual than it was 10 years ago. And everybody nodded their head. They all agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it may be 50-50, but that's okay.
And like you said, it's only going one direction.
That's right.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say one of the key things is small businesses love to thrive on flexibility and lack of formality and things like that, but there are certain aspects of intellectual property, and as with any small business, there comes a point where you have to have some formality, and intellectual property is one of those things.
Right. So talk to us about what that looks like.
Well, you know, there are a few steps you can take to set up a quasi-intellectual property protection system that sound rather formal, but in actuality, it's just a matter of continually thinking about these issues, you know, once a month or so, and as long as they're at the top of your head on a recurring basis on an Outlook reminder system or something, you know, you're going to be in a better position because it's going to force you to think about these issues.
Well, you know, David, before you get started on your list, as you know, for a long time, and you've helped me with this, I've just been trying to get small business owners just to recognize that they have intellectual property. You know, I mean, I can't get them to protect it if they don't even believe that they've got it.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big thing right now. So, folks, please, if you haven't thought about this before, just know, just understand, just accept and believe the fact that you have intellectual property. And you know, and David, as we point out in the past, think about property, the word property. What do you do with your property when you're not around? You secure it. You protect it. You lock it up. You turn the alarm system on. You have a dog. You have a guard. Whatever it takes. You carry a gun. Whatever you do, but you make sure that you protect what is precious to you. Well, I want you, David and I both want you to think about, to regard your intellectual property as precious too, because it takes, remember this, it takes capital to create it. And your capital sure is precious. Right, David?
Absolutely, and people think of it in terms of firewalls and internet security nowadays. Imagine if you just gave everyone complete access to your home PC. You would never do that, you know, and expand that further to a business and think, makes you realize there's a lot of intellectual property on your computer.
Absolutely. So when we come back, David's going to talk to us about how to set up the system to get you thinking a little bit more about intellectual property. And if I can get you to think a little bit more about it, you'll start thinking about how valuable it is. You'll start realizing how much you're leveraging it. Then all of a sudden you'll say, wait a minute, I got to protect this stuff. We'll do that right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jeff Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about some of my intellectual property. You can find it at smallbusinessadvocate.com and also askjim.biz. Check those out. Use them to your advantage, because we built all that intellectual property for you. We put it in there in those outstanding websites so that you could use them and not have to, you don't have to pay for anything. All you got to do is show up. We'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and the archives and the Brain Trust and the articles and the newsletter and the blog, all the stuff that we do right there at that one site. And then we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Check them out. David Dossi is our guest. He is my intellectual property attorney. He can be yours too, because that's what he does. And David, you're going to talk to us now about this system of protecting our intellectual property. Now that we kind of got their attention and they know what we're talking about, how do we protect this stuff?
Well, I'd say the first step is to form an intellectual property committee. And I say that to some small business owners, and I see them roll their eyes because they think, we're a five-person outfit, and we're going to have a committee. And I can't stress enough, just like I said before the break, that committee can just be you and one other person that have a monthly standing, you know, lunch date, or after work you go out for a drink. And it can be as simple as discussing, you know, what have we done in the last month that we don't want everyone in the company to have access to, or what proposals are coming up that, you know, contain information that we don't want everyone in the company to know about. You know, what information should have limited access, and what information should we push and get out there and make sure everybody knows about. You know, so committee sounds intimidating, but it's simple as that, and gets you thinking about intellectual property and helps out.
Well, and a committee member, all committee members don't have to be in working for your company in your company.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are a member of my intellectual property committee.
Mm-hmm.
There are three people on that committee.
And counting
you. And but here's the other thing. I also bring in other people who contribute to the committee just by getting their thoughts on different things, like their thoughts on a website, their thoughts on some other type of intellectual property that we might be building. I bring other people into that. They're advisors to that. And folks, I know I'm in the intellectual property business, but believe it or not, you are too. And so don't get intimidated by this committee thing.
And a key thing I often see is small business owners very rarely think about their exit strategy from their business. You know, they see retirement so far down the road that they only think of it when they're forming their corporation and have to fill out certain paperwork or talk to their attorney or accountant about it. But they need to realize that if someday they want someone to come in and purchase this company for any significant amount of money, that person is going to obviously do their due diligence, if they're smart, to investigate what this company's worth. And as more and more of it is transferring to intangible assets, Well, you better have something in place that at least lists those intangible assets and identifies what you're doing to, you know, protect them and keep them perhaps a trade secret so that you can show this person that it is worth that you purchasing my company for $1 million or more.
Right, absolutely. There's no question about it. And there are – never underestimate the value of being the owner of intellectual property. I mean, even a patent pending could add significant value to the value of a company, right, David?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all a matter of when you know, back in the day when it was 80% hard assets, well, when a guy's going to come – purchase your company, he's going to walk in, make sure all the machines actually work, you know? And to think that anyone's not going to do that for intangible assets is just kidding yourself.
Right.
And one of the key things that they come in and look at is, okay, well, what employment agreements do you have in place? You know, okay, you're a five-person firm, but guess what? One of those five is the top salesman that sells 80% of the, you know, revenues of this company. What type of agreement do you have in place with that guy? And if you don't have something that's solid, well, they'd be crazy to purchase a company.
So why would I come in and buy your company for $1 million when you're one of your top people could leave and take everything that I'm paying for over to the competitor with impunity?
You wouldn't.
Yep, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
You'd have to protect it. Because so what you're saying is there is a way to protect the intellectual property that we put in the heads of our employees.
Absolutely.
And that's with employee agreements, confidentiality agreements, non-compete agreements, that kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
Yep. All right, what else?
Okay, another step is just create a system where people know that they can submit, they can get a hold of the owner and submit invention disclosures or just ideas, the flow of information that it's easy for someone to say, this is intellectual property. I've recognized it, our company, and we need to do something about it. And I'm going to transfer it up the chain to you to make a decision. And if you reward employees for doing that, recognizing the intellectual property and essentially reporting it to you because it's your company and they recognize you should be protecting it, you know, reward these people, and it's amazing the results you can get. And that kind of dovetails in with the next point is establish an invention award policy where people that recognize this stuff.
As we go to a break, can I change one word?
Sure.
Can we call it an innovation board policy?
Absolutely.
Award policy? An innovation award policy. I like that better than invention, David. Stand by. Hold on. We'll take a quick break. Right back with David Dossie. He and I will be right back. I promise. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend David Dossie. He's my intellectual property attorney. He's a lot of people's intellectual property attorney. David, give us your website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
All right, invention-protection.com. And folks, this is not your grandfather's patent attorney website. This is new stuff. This is good stuff. And David's talking to us now about how to develop an intellectual property protection system. And David, we went to the break. I was taking issue with one of your words. You called it an invention, what'd you say, an invention bonus plan? Or
Award policy, right.
The invention award policy. And I like the word innovation award policy because that way I think people it might be a little easier for them to think of themselves as innovators than maybe inventors. What do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, invention has a connotation that they're actually inventing the next great product.
and also might make them think that they're worth a little bit more than they are, too. Okay, I like that idea. So what do we do with that?
Well, the next thing is to create a system that a public publication review procedure, and a lot of small businesses will say, well, we don't have an many publications. What are you talking about? But, you know, publications are everything from your advertisements to your marketing materials to your catalogs, price sheets, etc. And we often get calls from people that have put themselves in a pinch all due to marketing material, perhaps because they've walked a fine line between comparative advertising and just a little too much puffery. And you'd be amazed at the number of lawsuits that people get in because they have stretched the truth just a little too far and a competitor has taken exception to it. So it's not just publications from the aspect of disclosing something that the company should be keeping private. You know, that's very important too. But it's also a matter of putting something out there with the company name on it that, you know, has repercussions.
Right, absolutely. And so you need to catalog all those things to and also, you know, if you've created a campaign, some kind of marketing media campaign, you need to make sure that you keep up with that, that you protect that. Yeah, I'm, what I should say is if you created one of those and it's been wildly successful, well, that belongs to you. If you came up with it, it belongs to you. Protect it.
Right. And most people, you know, wouldn't put something on the internet without having someone proofread it. And this can be as simple as making sure that proofreader, one of the things they're always looking for is not just misspellings and punctuation, but are we saying anything that we're stepping out on the edge a little too far? Or are we properly using our trademarks in this publication that we're putting out there?
And you can't edit your own stuff, folks. I can tell you that right now. I do a lot of writing, and I'm a decent editor, but I can't write my own stuff and edit my own stuff. And you do need to have you need to drop this through a few other filters, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right, what's next? We've got time for one more thing.
Okay. Well, I would say if there was one more thing, it would be have a procedure in place to review purchase order language, so that purchase orders just don't blindly go to accounting and checks are cut, because that fine print on the back of that purchase order, you never realize how significant it is until that $50,000 a year lease that you just have signed, you know, comes back and bites you. So someone needs to be paying attention to that fine print and realizing that when you are signing a $50,000 a year lease, but guess what? Those aren't boilerplate terms. You can negotiate any of those, and usually they weigh heavily not in your favor.
All right, tell me what that has to do with our intellectual property system.
Well, most commonly, those terms will include something to the effect that if you are sued for intellectual property infringement, that you're agreeing to indemnify the company that's leasing the machinery or anything like that. And, you know, if I buy a machine or if I lease a $50,000 a year machine, you know, that's significant capital investment. And guess what? If I'm paying that much, you better have done your research to know that just by using this product I'm buying from you, that I'm not going to get sued for intellectual property infringement. Or if I am, you're gonna back me up. You're gonna own up to your responsibility and come in and support me.
Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You only get this kind of stuff on the Small Business Advocate Show. Show me another radio program that provides you with this kind of stuff to protect you and to help you protect your property. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen. That's Gallagher and Dossie, attorneys, intellectual property attorneys. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.